This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. As we look to the NCAA tournament and to the Final Four a couple of weeks from now in Arizona, remember, the Mike Francesa Podcast, as always, brought to you by the good folks at BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app for all of your wagering needs, for everything you need during this wonderful time of year when you have crazy wall-to-wall action the next 4 days, 48 basketball games, not even counting the NIT, which is not bad. I think, you know, there were some decent NIT games last night. There'll be more tonight. I thought that their matchups were the best I've seen in a long time, so if you need a little extra. But over the next 4 days, it's wall-to-wall action. 48 games, the heart of the tournament. And as I've always said, this tournament, first and second round belong to the underdogs. They belong to the mid-majors. They belong to the Cinderellas. It's where coaches make reputations. It's where they get jobs. You know, you go in right now and you have a mid-major. They go and they win two games. And their coach, it's the escalator going up. And it doesn't go up one flight. It goes up right to the penthouse, right to the good places. And it happens when you really perform in a tournament like this. And so the first 2 weeks belong, the first two games through the first, through Sunday night, belongs to the Cinderellas, to the upsets, to the underdogs. That's what we all look for. That's what we all root for. We look for the buzzer beaters. We look for the upsets along the way. Which big team can't make it? Which one can? And then it's a very different tournament. When you get to the Sweet 16, there'll be a couple of Cinderellas in there. There'll be a couple of high seeds in there, but it will belong to the big teams, the ones that have been the big teams all season. And in this year, there have been three teams that have completely stood out above everybody else: UConn, Houston, and Purdue. Houston has fallen into complete disfavor because of the thrashing. And it was a historic thrashing they took at the hands of Iowa State. But what if in that game, after a poor start, their head coach, who is a very, very good head coach, called off the dogs? What if he did? Are you going to stake an entire season on that one game? So many people have. Nobody is picking Houston to make the Final Four, which is crazy. After the season they've had, they won the best league by open lengths. They have been an outstanding team. Are they a team without a weakness? No, they have a weakness. Purdue has weaknesses. Houston has weaknesses. The only team that doesn't have weaknesses is UConn. But UConn has its own cross to bear because they have been absolutely put in a bracket that is loaded. It is actually patently unfair that they will face a team in the Sweet 16, in the regional semis. They will face a team as good as Auburn. Auburn is a team that is playing top five basketball. I told you this before. I have gone back and forth trying to find a team in the West because I don't like Arizona. I haven't all year. I know they're talented enough to win the whole thing. I understand that. They're also weird enough and shaky enough to go out early in the tournament. I'm not a big Carolina guy. I know that they play defense. I know they have two wooden finalists. I understand that. I understand how the guys have played this year. I just don't love it. I don't love that league this year. I don't love that team this year. I've been looking for – I said this before. If you would put Auburn, the 4 seed in the East, Illinois, the 3 seed in the East, Iowa State, the 2 seed in the East, and a team that a lot of people thought should be a number 1 seed, if you would put any one of those teams in the West, I would have picked them to go to the Final Four. In a second, I would have picked them. I would have picked Illinois, would have picked Auburn, would have picked Iowa State. I'm not picking any of them. I'm picking UConn. But UConn is going to have to face Auburn, and I don't think Auburn will get picked off before that. And then they're going to have to face the Illinois-Iowa State survivor. They are going to have to play 2 hellish games to get to the Final Four. They put real roadblocks in their place. Are they the best team? Yes. They're the only team without a weakness. They're starting 5. Now that Klingon is healthy at center, their starting 5 cannot be matched. Nobody. There's some good starting 5s. Nobody can match what they have. They have 5 guys all scoring double figures. All can pass the ball. 2 of them shoot 40% from the 3-point line. 1 shoots 45%, and to me is the number 1 clutch shooter in the country in Spencer. You have an intense, fiery guy in Spencer who is a great clutch shooter. You have Newton. You have Castle, who is in my mind, when he goes to the pros, he could be a top 10 draft pick. He's that talented. And you got Caravan, who's a wonderfully versatile guy who hits 40% from 3 and can go inside. They all pass. They can play inside. They can play outside. They can play slow. They can play fast. They can play defense. They can play offense. There's nothing they can't do. They are the best team in the country. Do they survive the East? I think they do. Do I want to pick the favorite to win the championship? No, but I've been on UConn all year. And since February, I've seen them in person 3 times, and nothing will convince me they aren't the best team. So in the East, I think the chalk will advance to the Sweet 16. I think you won't get a lot of upsets. I think Auburn, Illinois, Iowa State, UConn are all playing that well. I think all 4 will survive to the Sweet 16, which is unusual to get a bracket in 1, 2, 3, 4 in form, all showing up in the Sweet 16. It does not happen often these days. You get a lot of upsets. I think it will happen here. I think they will have to beat Auburn. I think they will have to beat Iowa State to get to the Final Four. Those will be 2 very, very tough, physical, rugged games. Auburn's real good. Iowa State's real good. In other brackets, I would have picked either one of them in a lot of brackets. In the West, I would have picked them all. But I'm picking UConn to get to the Final Four out of the East. On the bottom side of the bracket is the West. They will play in each other in the semis. I will hold off on the West to last because I'm telling you right now, I don't have a Final Four team in the West. I don't have one that I like. The 4 seeds are Carolina, Arizona, Baylor, and Alabama. I don't like any of them to go to the Final Four. So I've been searching for a long shot, but I'll leave that. We go up to the South. Houston will be in Memphis the first weekend. They are coming off an historically bad loss that has gotten the entire nation off the team. Every analysis I saw, oh, Houston's going to get picked off early. Oh, Houston's going to get picked off early. Oh, they don't have it. Have you watched them this year? They won 30 games in the best league in the country. The Big 12 was the best league in the country. They dominated it. They've been beaten 4 times. Yes, they took a bad beating at the hands of Iowa State. Iowa State is a team that could win it all. Most people didn't discover Iowa State until last weekend. I've been watching Iowa State all year. Now, they're a lot like Houston in that they're a great defensive team. They're the 2 best defensive teams in the country. And they both have flaws offensively. They both struggle to score. And that can haunt you in this tournament. And that's the only thing that scares me about Houston, is they are going to come up in a game, Elite Eight, maybe even Sweet 16, because they're going to face some interesting games here. If form holds, they're going to have to beat Duke, which is a four seed, and they're going to have to beat, I think, Kentucky, which is a three seed. I've heard a lot of people say Kentucky's badly seeded as a three seed. Kentucky's badly seeded as a three seed if you are treating Kentucky on just their results. But don't do that, because they have not played to their capabilities. When you treat them on their ability, their pure talent, they are a top five team in the country, talent-wise. Top five. Yes, they have a bunch of freshmen, but they have some spectacular players in Reed Shepherd. But all of them, their ability to score. You know, there it is where John's team were very talented with NBA players, but they couldn't put the ball in the ocean. This team is the number one shooting by percentage three-point team in the country. They can score 15 points in a minute. Literally in a minute, they can score 15 points. That's how explosive they are. They don't play a lick of defense. Not a lick. That's what haunts you about them. But they are very talented. As I told you, dismiss. This tournament's hard enough, so when you got teams that have injuries, dismiss them. That's goodbye to Florida for me, goodbye to Kansas for me, goodbye to Marquette for me, because I'm not saying Marquette's going to get beat in the first round, but they're not going far because they're just not together. And it's hard to either integrate guys back into the lineup now, like even with Akola, you know, they've had to play differently the last week and two. Now you're going to change it again if you put Kolek back in the lineup, which I think they will. But that's tough to do. But there's a lot of talent in that bracket. Houston would have to, if you look at it, their second round game, if it's against A&M or Nebraska, either one, it's going to be a hard game. Then Duke's there. Or Texas Tech, either one, is a tough opponent. They know Texas Tech very well, obviously. Then Kentucky or Marquette. I'm saying Kentucky. But those teams are young and talented. And they're the brand names, obviously. Duke, Kentucky. I think Houston gets through both of them. I think Houston gets to the Final Four. I think people are ignoring the team unfairly because of the Iowa State loss. Their body work is better than that. They're the best defensive team in the country. They will overpower people with their defense. Could they run into a game where somebody, you know, goes, you know, 15 for 30 from three? Well, yeah, then they can get beat. But they usually don't let people shoot like that. So it's going to be interesting. I go Houston. Sorry. Taylor's with me today, so just apologize for Taylor barking. Taylor's barking at the door. But that's okay. It doesn't bother the podcast. I think Houston makes the Final Four. I think they do. Okay? I think they get there. I think they are overpowering in the 116 game. I think they're going to take it out on Longwood, that they got beat the way they did last week. I think they will play well on the weekend. And then I think that they will get through what will be a very tough chore with the likes of Duke and Kentucky waiting in the wings. There's probably not more pressure. There's pressure on Arizona because of what's happened in the past. Nobody faces more pressure than Purdue does. I wanted to beat Purdue. But looking at it, and I went over this Midwest bracket time and time again, and I'll tell you what I came up with. Purdue's playing in Indianapolis, okay? And we know that Purdue has wounds for early exits. is on their mind. They will take that into account in these first and second round games. First round game, I'm telling you they're not going to get beat. They're playing in Indianapolis, and they're going to come out, and they're going to be very conscious of what's going on, and they are going to play well. They're then going to catch, I think, TCU against Utah State. I think TCU survives. I think TCU poses some problems, but I think Purdue in Indianapolis will be impossible to beat. So Purdue now gets to the Sweet 16 and takes a deep breath. They got here. So what happens now? I think this bracket's going to break a little bit. I can see Kansas losing early. I can see McNeese. Gonzaga never loses in the first round. I understand that. And they're probably even better than a five seed. But they have problems guarding the three line, and they're going to face a very, very deep, quick team that's going to play pedal to the metal and fearless. And if you're looking for a team that's going to have some Cinderella in it, I think McNeese, listen, McNeese has not been a secret all year. Everybody knows that McNeese has been really good all year. Everyone's been waiting for McNeese to get unleashed on the bracket. I think they're going to play really well. I can see them winning the first game. I can see them getting to the Sweet 16 where they'd face Purdue, and I think that's where the magic would end. They're a pain in the neck, but I think, obviously, with the big man, with Edie there, I would think that it would be too much. He'd parade to the foul line in the game. They'd give him a lot of easy looks, and I think Purdue gets to the Elite Eight. Now the question is, does Purdue get past the Elite Eight? On the bottom of the bracket, I like Oregon over South Carolina. I do not like South Carolina. And Dane Altman always does well in the tournament. And having their center healthy now, he was brilliant in the upsets in the Pac-10, beating, you know, winning the last game against Colorado. He was sensational, both ends of the floor. He's healthy now. I think they're dangerous. Ackman can play. That league can play. Ackman can play. I take them seriously. They'll play a hard game against Creighton, but I think Creighton has too much scoring. Big men are going to be very prominent in this tournament, clinging with UConn. Obviously, the player of the year in Purdue, and Kalkbrenner, who has been really good both ways for Creighton. Creighton's a weird team. They play weird. They don't foul. They don't protect the rim well. Even with a very good defensive big man there, they don't do a great job on defensive twos. They do a very good job of defensive threes, and they shoot the three all night. They are a three team. They live and die by the three. They have five guys that can shoot the three, including Kalkbrenner, but Shireman, Ashworth, Alexander, Miller. They're a three-bombing team, and they will either shoot themselves in or shoot themselves out of the tournament. I think they get by Oregon, not easily. And then Tennessee's waiting at the bottom. Now, Tennessee is another team that took a big hit when they got absolutely embarrassed by Mississippi State. But the problem here is not Tennessee. It's Barnes. Their coach has been he's a nice man, and he's been a very successful coach, but he's been a bad NCAA tournament coach. Bad. He did get Texas to the Final Four once with Durant, but he had Durant. I can't back Tennessee to go deep. And I know Texas isn't great. They're up and down. But they have the makings of a really dangerous team because they can really score. Plus, my favorite player in college basketball is Max Abmas. Now, unless if you remember, set the tournament upside down with Oral Roberts a couple of years ago. He went, after graduating Oral Roberts, he went to Texas this year. He had a good year. He didn't have a great year. But you know what? I think he will be wild in the tournament. I think he's the eighth leading scorer of all time in the NCAA. He will be wild in the tournament. I think he will put on a show. So I have them winning in the first round, although they're going to play a very good Colorado State team. I have them upsetting Tennessee. That might look really bad. But you have to pick upsets along the way here. And I can see him putting on a show. And if I'm right about that show, they can do well. They could, that could look like, it could really put an egg on my face for two rounds, that team. Creighton, Texas, I went back and forth, back and forth. I picked Creighton. I just think they have too many answers, and the big man, and the three-point shooting. And when they play high, they can beat anybody. Look what they did to UConn. When they play low, they can get beat by a lot of people because they rely heavily on the three. When they shoot badly, they lose. When they shoot great, they win. They rely on the three ball. That's their game. But they have five guys who can score. And having guys who can score and having size and having a different way of playing, which they really do, makes them hard to cope with. So I have Purdue against Creighton and Battle of Big Men. Fun game. Really terrific game. I wanted to pick Creighton, but I just have this feeling that we're going to get a – Purdue-UConn final. It would be great. The two big men, two big teams, player of the year here, team of the year here. Klingon, who's a really good player, good big man, does everything. Obviously, the player of the year here for Purdue. I just had that in my head. I don't like picking three ones. I usually believe that two ones are going to go, a three or four is going to go, and then someone below four is going to go. That's my thoughts on most. If you ask me for the typical Final Four, I think one, one, three, or four, and then, you know, a six or a seven, you know. Something like that. I have three ones this year. They've been the best three teams all year. They've been at the top all year. UConn, Houston, Purdue. I have a UConn Purdue final. We'll talk about that when it happens, if it happens. So I have three ones, which I don't like. I don't like to pick it, but that's what I wound up with. I fought it. I tried to go against it. I almost picked Kentucky over Houston, and I said, do I really believe Kentucky's going to beat Houston, or do I think Houston's going to beat Kentucky? I think Houston's going to beat Kentucky. I went back and forth. I was going to pick Kentucky. I really was. I was back and forth and forth and back, and I took Houston. I really took Houston for this reason, because everybody has ignored them, and I think it's wrong. They're ignoring them all for one game. Before that, I think a lot of people would have picked them. And right now, the favorite to win the tournament is UConn, but it's lessened because a lot of people look at how hard their bracket is, and it's very close for second with Houston. But if you see people, they're not picking Houston because of that one game. A lot of people got off Tennessee for the same reason. I didn't get off Tennessee for that reason. I got off Tennessee because their coach just never delivers. So I have UConn, Houston, Purdue. And then in the West, I wanted to pick Michigan State so badly. I probably just should, because I think something weird. I know everybody thinks New Mexico is going to go on a wild run. That conference usually doesn't do that well. I'm not an Arizona guy. Do I think Arizona has the talent to beat everybody? I do. I think Arizona has more talent than Carolina. I don't think of Carolina as being a championship team. I think they're a good team. But I don't think they're going to get there. I think they're going to get picked off. Michigan State has a brutal first-round game against Mississippi State. They could get beaten that game hands down. That road, Mississippi State, Carolina, tells me that I can't pick Michigan State. They just haven't been consistent enough to make me think they're going to win a really tough first game and then turn around and really throw a huge upset into the mix with Carolina. I don't think they'll do both. I'm begging for a team. If I had had Creighton here, I would have picked them for the Final Four. If I had had Auburn, Illinois, Iowa State, Kentucky, any of those teams, I would have picked every one of them out of the West if they were in that bracket. Instead, I got four teams in the bracket that I don't like. I don't like Baylor. I think Baylor will edge New Mexico. I think New Mexico will beat Clemson. I think everybody thinks that. I think Clemson is overseeded and New Mexico is underseeded. I don't love Baylor. I don't love Arizona. I think Nevada is going to win the first round game against Dayton, and I think they could win the second game. I think Baylor will make the regional. If Arizona's still there, they'll probably get beat by Arizona. I know Arizona could win this thing, but I'm not picking Arizona. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. I just haven't liked anything about them all year. I'm really without a team. I should probably pick, you know, like Grand Canyon and just, you know, leave it alone because I don't like any of the teams in the West. Do I think Michigan State, I might kick myself for not picking Michigan State as they're sitting there off the upset of Carolina. Then I will probably kick myself. I think the team that could get hot, and I think they could get picked off in the first game, is Alabama. But Charleston is going to give them it's going to be a high scoring, two teams that shoot the three like crazy. Charleston's dangerous. I figure Alabama's just got, you know, they're playing the same style. When two teams play the same style, take the talent. Upsets in the bracket, in the tournament, when teams get upset in the first and second round by the mid-majors or the lesser teams, it's usually under 70. And the game usually slows down a lot. Very rarely does a big team get upset at a fast pace because that's where the talent wills out. That's where their depth wills out. That's why Alabama beats Charleston, because they're just going to play the same way and Alabama's got more talent. Alabama was a bitter disappointment last year with all the craziness that went on last year. I thought about that as they entered the tournament this year. I think about teams one year to the next and what happened, and will they turn around this year? So by process of elimination, not by anything terrific, not by any special quality, I'll probably kick myself for not picking Michigan State, but I'm going to pick Alabama as my fourth team. And again, I don't love Alabama. If I could change them with seven or eight teams, I would switch them. But I don't like anybody. And I don't want to pick a heavy favorite when I've picked the three other ones, because I didn't want to pick them. But I went with what I believed, and I wound up with this. I usually don't. But I don't see... I see Purdue having had so many questions to answer and carried the baggage that they have a huge chip on their shoulder. And I think Indianapolis and Detroit will be places that will be very – Indianapolis is great for them. I think Detroit will also be very good for them. I think that will give them real cushion from a fan base standpoint. And I think that's helpful, really helpful when it comes to the kind of pressure they're going to face. Houston, I think, will be really in a nasty mood the first game and the second game. And then it's going to be interesting because they're going to play some very talented young teams. Most likely Duke, or Kentucky, or Marquette. I think Kentucky. And like I said, I went back and forth and forth and back on Houston, Kentucky over and over and over again. So I wound up with UConn, Alabama, Houston, and Purdue. And Alabama is not a strong pick. I admit that. But again, I said I don't like Arizona. I said I don't like Carolina. I said I don't like Baylor. I was left with nothing. I'm telling you, if Michigan's, I wanted so bad to pick badly to pick Michigan State, but they've been so woefully inconsistent, and I don't think the Big Ten is that good. I think Purdue has been solid all year. They've only lost four times. I really look at that as a big factor. UConn's been beat three times. Once they were not 100%. So they've lost twice when they were healthy. Houston's only been beat four times. Now, the last time was an historic beating, and they have paid mightily for that in the public's perception. Purdue has only been beat four times. Those 30-win teams are the kind of teams that get to the Final Four. It makes a difference. They don't get beat in those games. When you have teams that have been beat a lot, they need to have changed something. Alabama's played to a certain style this year. They've been either very good or very bad because they are very much an offensive team. But they can overwhelm people. And the matchups that they get here, if I don't love the teams, I can see their talent and their offensive force and firepower coming through. So UConn, Alabama, Houston, Purdue, UConn, Purdue in the championship game. And you know that I'm a UConn guy. I think UConn is the best team. That could be a great game. I would love to sign for that because I would love to see Purdue and their big man against UConn and their big man. I think it would be a great setting for college basketball. It really would. So UConn, Houston, Alabama, and Purdue is my final four. We will have plenty of stuff for you every day. I'll put games that I like up on Twitter. We will have a review every night of what went on in the tournament. We may even have some preview stuff on a certain day we might be on before or after. So keep looking every day for new podcasts. Download the Bet Rivers app. You can get it there. Obviously, wherever you go for your podcast, you can get it. So we will have new stuff every single day through Sunday. So keep looking for it. Enjoy the tournament. Fill out your bracket. You know, someone asked me about a perfect bracket, and I said, I don't think it's humanly possible. I know the number is somewhere in the billions that, you know, think about it. The amount of possibilities are so overwhelming that I can't think that it would, you know, you have a better chance of probably, it's probably about on the same terms of, you know, winning some of these lottery things. It's just not going to happen. It's completely impossible. You know, there could be plenty of action and upsets, which is what everyone looks for. You got live teams here. If you're looking for live teams in the first round, this is now talking about underdogs and point spreads. Morehead State getting 12.5 against Illinois is a live underdog. I don't think they'll win the game, but I think they'll play well. I think Charleston, it's either 9.5 or 10, getting 10 points, I think will play well. I don't think they'll win, but they'll play well. I talked about McNeese already. I actually see them winning a couple games outright. So I obviously like them as an underdog. I think they're getting 6.5 or 7 from Gonzaga in the first round. Samford, you're not getting enough points there because of the Kansas injuries. You're not getting enough points there. So I would not take that, only because you should be getting a lot more for your dollar than you're getting. The number's coming down because of the Kansas injuries. But they are definitely live. McNeese is live. I think Vermont won't beat Duke. They're going to get Duke at night in Brooklyn. It's going to be a Duke crowd. I think they'll beat them, but they play the right way. They play defense. They pass the ball. They move. They cut. I think that they will hang around. I don't think they'll win, but they'll hang around. And I think there's a couple of teams that clearly the wrong teams favored, and by game time, they might even be favored. I know New Mexico's already favored over Clemson. I think Oregon is at best getting 1 point. They might even be pick 'em now against South Carolina. I favor Oregon. I favor New Mexico in those games. So plenty of action starting tomorrow. You know, this tournament is really 4 days. Everything changes. Everything changes. This is a national event. It has color and pageantry and charm, even though, let's be honest, the NIL has taken a lot of the charm away from anything in college. Completely. These guys are not students anymore. They're pros. That's just the way of the world. But the first weekend is about the entire picture and upsets and Cinderellas and buzzer beaters, all those things you look for. Nothing's more fun when you get 2 or 3 games coming down to the wire, one right after the other. And, you know, the tension mounts as you got to shoot your way in, shoot your way out, make a shot, don't make a shot. You know, you're a big team. You know, as Jim Valvano always said, survive and advance. Everyone has to survive in advance. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it goes right to the wire. And most years, no matter whether you're going to win it or not, even the champion is going to face a white knuckler. Although last year, to be fair, UConn didn't. UConn had every game tucked away with 5 minutes left, neatly tucked away, and that was exceedingly impressive. And they're back for more. Enjoy the tournament. We'll see you all weekend long.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.